Brian, could you tell me first of all, what is sepsis and how serious an issue is this?
So sepsis is the body's reaction to an infection. Typically speaking, we see bacterial infections that have become very severe as the body's reaction to trying to get rid of that infection causes severe organ dysfunction and potentially death. And it is a very important problem around the world, but particularly in Calgary specifically. People die from sepsis every day in the ICU, and in the intensive care unit where I work, it's probably still the number one reason that people die. Even with advanced life support, their bodies will stop functioning, their organs stop functioning, and we oftentimes cannot support people that develop this severe inflammatory type disease.
And what is the treatment for it at the present time?
Present time, basically, the only things that we know that are beneficial for people are advanced life support, which is a breathing machine, very specialized medication. And the only other thing that we know at this point for sure that makes a difference is broad-spectrum antibiotics that are given as early as possible. Now, you know, even 5 years ago, we had multiple other therapies that we used for sepsis. But in fact, doing more clinical trials have actually shown that most of those therapies either have no benefit or even a detrimental benefit or a detrimental problem. So we've actually stopped using these therapies. So even since I've been an intensivist, we've stopped doing things for sepsis. And in fact, now we have no specific therapies other than advanced life support and trying to give early antibiotics.
Now, you've made an important discovery in your research, and it's recently been published in the journal Nature Medicine. What is your discovery?
We began looking at severe infections, not necessarily septic models, using animals. And what we discovered is there's a very specific immune cell called the neutrophil, which is supposed to clear all the bacteria in your body. And hopefully if you clear an infection quickly, you wouldn't develop severe complications like sepsis. But what we found is that these neutrophils have a very interesting way of getting rid of bacteria where they use the DNA within their nucleus. They explode it out of the cell in a big net to capture bacteria. Now, everyone had thought that this would involve the cell dying because nobody thought that a cell could live without a nucleus, which is the center of the cell, and nobody thought that the cell could actually get it out without killing itself. So this was thought to be what was called beneficial suicide. So these cells were dying in order to help you. But what we discovered is that this is actually not true in all cases. In fact, in human severe infections and in animal severe infections, these neutrophils can do this process, but they continue to function perfectly well. And this is important because they can continue to function and chemotax or crawl around tissue. They can continue to get bacteria. They can continue to imprison the bacteria within the cell. And all of this would not be possible if the cells were dead. So the fact that we found out that these cells can survive this process really tells us that these neutrophils can do a lot of different things, and their role in severe infection increases.
Now that you've got this surprising result or this new knowledge, how do you use it?
That is a big problem. You know, this was sort of you know, fundamental foundation building type of experiment that we were surprised to find out. And as you point out, you know, the next big hurdle is, well, what do we do next? One of the big sort of stumbling blocks in the area is that although we know that these nets which capture bacteria are beneficial for capturing the bacteria, we also know that you pay a price for this type of defense because the nets themselves are actually very toxic to your body. So we're not sure at this point, you know, how to manipulate the cells so that you produce enough nets to catch bacteria, but not too many nets so that it makes your body dysfunction. So at this point, you know, we really need better, especially in human, better studies to really show us, you know, when is it good, when is it bad, because we would hate to inhibit the nets if that makes the infection worse, but we would also wouldn't want to enhance the nets if that's going to make organ dysfunction or sepsis worse. So we really need to understand at a basic science level when are these things good and when are they bad before we can really start manipulating them, I think.
Well, what is your sense of it?
Well, you know, for definitely for some infections, it is clear that they're important. There are a very small group of human beings that, because of a genetic abnormality, cannot make NEPs, and we know that they get chronic infections and they run into a lot of problems. And someone did a very interesting thing in that they transplanted these patients and then they looked to see if they could make these NEPs, and they could, and it got rid of infection. So we know from some human studies that they're absolutely important for infections. However, in the septic patients, it's looking more and more like your body's, maybe as a last-ditch effort to get rid of an infection, overwhelms the body with these NEPs, and it's just too much. So, you know, it's hard to know at this point, but I think if someone's having organ failure, we may actually want to get rid of the NEPs, let our antibiotics do their job. But if someone's got a chronic infection which is not clearing or and they're not developing sepsis, it might be important to enhance the NEPs to try to get rid of these chronic infections. But at this point, we're not sure, actually.
So are you going to try and do further research on this?
Ideally, we would like to continue to pursue more human studies. We like using the other technologies to drive the science, because, you know, it really gives us the fundamentals of what's happening. So I think we continue doing scientific work, try to do the human work, and see if we can sort out, you know, these fundamental questions before we can really get on to a therapeutic and trying to design a rational, targeted therapy for a disease like sepsis or for a chronic severe infection.
Well, one of the things that you said makes me think, can you do some kind of test on a person who, say, you know, they already have chronic problems, where you would know ahead of time that they're going to be one of these people who has trouble, and then be able to treat them differently? Does that make sense?
So, yeah, definitely. I mean, in almost all areas of medicine, more personalized approaches seem to be the way to go. And I think that probably will be true in our cases as well, for people with severe infections as well as sepsis, is that one therapy may not be appropriate. Now, the key would be, how do we distinguish who should get the therapy and not? And, you know, there are different types of blood tests to look at biomarkers and DNA levels and these types of things. And these experiments are underway. And, you know, it'll be a couple years before we fully understand what this kind of data means. But it's certainly not crazy to think that we could design a test that would allow us to understand who would benefit from having more NEPs and who would benefit from having less NEPs. We're not quite there yet. And I think that really we need the scientific foundation to understand what's going on first before we really make a lot of progress in the humans.
Lots more work to be done on the basic research side, it sounds like.
I think so. I think, you know, it's unfortunately underappreciated how much, you know, to get to one human therapy, how much scientific evidence and work really needs to be there. Because I think, unfortunately, if people get off and running to try to design a human therapy without understanding what the issues are, I feel that oftentimes we run into these problems where these therapies come out, we start using them in day-to-day practice, and it turns out that they're not doing what we think they're doing, or they're actually causing more problems. And I think that was some of the problems with the therapies that we have dropped for sepsis in the last 5 years, is that the basic research on them may not have been as strong as people would have liked. So, you know, you get down the road 10, 15 years, almost $1 billion worth of drug development, you get it into the clinic, and then you find out, well, it's actually not doing what we thought it was doing. And so that's a big expense. And I think that if we can, you know, have people understand that the basic research it's costly, it takes a lot of time, but I think it's well worth understanding the process first, before we, you know, are off and running with too many therapies.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Yip.
No problem.